confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hyped Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
All right, everybody, welcome to MMA Madhouse Live, number 195. We got a stacked show. It's going to kick off quick, so let me get my partner in crime, Mr. Lapaki, in here.
What's going on, man?
I don't get it. It says your music's playing. I don't get it. Watch, it'll just start playing randomly now. It's what I tell you.
Check out this selection right here. Where you from?
He's critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mama. And she burnt your monkey ass.
How you doing tonight, brother?
Doing good, man. What's going on?
It's a busy week on this side of the mountain. I'm looking forward to a super good weekend of MMA. There's a lot of great events going on. I'll be all over Go Fight Live for sure. Plus, you know, Rear Naked Smoke will have a bunch of stuff. .net. Other than that, man, ready for tonight's show. We got an old friend with Ron coming in. You know, it's been a while since he's been on
do
the show.
Do you think anybody will want to do some math with me this Saturday while we watch fights in the morning? We can hang out at PhillySpears.com and watch fights at RearNakedSmoke.net.
Boom. And you know what? There are some good fights going, like I said, going down this weekend, folks. If you guys aren't out there checking out some of our sponsors, they're up on the website at MMAMadhouse.com. You guys can check them out. But Friday we got Dynasty. I know that's going to be in the evening time for all you folks here on the West Coast in the afternoon. But Infusion out of Slovakia, that's going down this weekend. You guys know we're big fans of kickboxing. There's also another kickboxing event. I'm trying to think. I think it's in Australia, if I'm not mistaken. I know one of our companies that's been sponsoring us and working with us for a long time is Go Fight Live. I believe they have Kings of Combat out of Victoria. So, it's going to be – that's another good card. Victory, I believe Victory is going to be up in New York, but I'm not sure if it's going to be on demand or streamed. But we have Amanda, the Lady Killer Bell, going over to Colorado, the Sparta Combat League, and she's throwing down. And I'm not sure, folks, if that all-women's card is going to be on the same as the Fight for the Troops card or not, because they're both listed for the same day. But I think it's 8 women's matches, and then either later that day, because, you know, he does crazy events. They'll have the evening cards, but CFFC, that's going down this weekend as well. What else? Man, there's a bunch of good stuff. Havoc out
Rage
there in Savannah,
the
Georgia. Oh, yep.
Rage in the Cage 4, Fight UK, Cage Contender. It's a busy day in London, in the UK.
I have a super, super great question from a fan asked from Mr. Lapaki. Can you give us a rundown on what's going in down MMA-wise in Oregon, Mr. You-Know-Everything?
So, there's not a lot going on in Oregon.
Really? No events? Not one? Wow. We don't have one event going on in Oregon?
Not that I'm aware of.
They asked about next week, the week after, or the week after that.
I don't know.
Oh, he wants to know if you know of anything going on in the Philippines, Russia, or China quicker.
Yes. Yes.
Rough 13 will be on before we see any good events here.
Yeah, dude, did you see that Road FC is coming back too?
Oh, yes. Super excited. Folks, once again, a lot of the stuff we're talking about, you guys can always get over there and MMAMadhouse.com and check it out. We got a brand new article up just about an hour ago. Tacoma's Drew Brokenshire targets Cage Sport lightweight title, taking on Justin Harrington, 6-0. It's going to be an interesting match.
That's going to be a good little fight, bro. Let me just tell you a couple of things about that fight. I'm super excited.
I think the whole card is definitely a good-looking card.
Dude, they're going to have a hard time with that 185 fight that happens right before them. They, you know, these two, Justin and Drew, are going to have a big shoes to fill, I have a feeling.
You're talking about the Alfonso Gonzalez-Jared Torkenson fight, which we will actually have Alfonso Gonzalez on later tonight.
Yeah.
You know Shorty's got to hate the fact that Cage Quest used that same picture in every single article.
I don't know. Do you think – I can't wait to talk to Ron, dude. I want to see if you know, he wants to go 6-2 minimum out there in Syracuse.
Well, you know what? Let's do this. Let's call him up right now.
Dude, Rebel FC, Singapore, this weekend, bitches. Cernarte versus Salimi, man. Go watch. It'll be a fun time.
Oh, yes. Okay, here we go. Let's see what happens. Ron.
Hey.
Hey, what's up? It's Skippy and Lepocky with Madhouse Live. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. You?
Doing really good, man. How's everything going?
Good, good. Just driving.
How's that treating you?
That sucks. It's a long drive. Got another 10 hour and 20 minutes to go.
Oh, wow.
Are you driving the whole way or are you riding the whole way?
I'm driving right now. Mike and I, the other coach, you know, the main coach, he'll be driving. We'll switch off while everybody else sleeps, I guess.
Okay, so before we get too far into this, for the fans around the world who might not know, because we're talking kind of with an old friend, tell everybody who you are and a little bit about you and the gym.
All right, shoot. Well, here, talk to Mike. He's more interesting than I am.
Okay.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much. Hey, we're going to spend about the next 30 minutes catching up with you guys and what's going on with the gym and everything. For all the fans out there, why don't you tell them a little bit about who you are and a little bit about your gym, and we'll go from there.
All right. Are we live right now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, if I can keep Ron on the road while he's driving, you know, I should be able to. Basically, head MMA coach at SSF. Had the pleasure of working with all these guys. Ron and I started out as two competing gyms in the area, with pretty much the only gyms with high-level fighters. We merged. We all came over to SSF, and it's been a great marriage, if you will, of talent and people working together.
How hard was the merger when you know, coming from your own place to now working together with another co-coach?
How hard was it? Actually, it was it actually went way smoother than what I think either Ron or I thought it would, because we were not only competitors, we were like extreme competitors. We did not get along, you know, two gyms of that caliber, you know, basically we were 5 minutes driving distance from one another. It was an extremely competitive situation.
Yeah, I would imagine so. How did the fighters blend together? Or was that maybe the hardest part to get those guys to?
No, that was actually really easy. That was really easy. A lot of the guys had trained together before. Some of them went to school together or wrestled against each other, and that actually went pretty smooth. And by the time we got together, some of the guys had been training. Probably been training over there for a month or two. The whole thing went surprisingly smooth. What happened was I had stopped for a little bit coaching. I had some things I had to take care of in the personal nature that were really important. And Ron ended up finding one of the kids that used to be one of my kids to fight. And then we drove all the way. I think it was D.C., wasn't it? It was D.C. And we had an 11-hour car ride, one direction, 11-hour car ride back together. So whatever animosity was kind of buried while we sat there and talked about 80s music and whatever else interested us at the time. So we ended up getting along really well. We've been working together ever since.
Yeah, you can learn a lot about a guy sitting next to him for 11 hours.
Oh, yeah, just stuck there. So, and there wasn't much sleeping because I don't think he trusted my driving, and I definitely didn't trust his. So we were awake the whole time.
It sounds like you still don't trust his driving.
Man, we're all in here. There's a little bit of the eggshell thing. I mean, I can't say Ron is a bad driver, but, it takes him a minute to catch up to the GPS. There's been a few of the panic, which way do I go moments. So, yeah, he needs a navigator, so I'm staying awake. And he's going to keep his night flying. So that's not good. We'll probably switch up here soon.
So, you guys are tell the fans what you guys are obviously driving up to New York, correct?
Indeed, we are. We're driving up to the Syracuse area. We represent the Nashville Renegades. We've got the main core of the team. The guys came from SSF. Some of the other weight classes. We've got Kerry Saunders with us out of Arkansas. We've got Deshaun Boatwright coming out of Virginia. Keegan Ginrich out of Georgia. Alicia, Vasquez. I was going to say it wrong, and I want to make sure I said it right. Alicia Vasquez, she's one of ours, but she's military, so she's down in Florida. We have another young lady, she's coming out of Louisiana. So, and we're all representing the Nashville Renegades. We're going up there, and hopefully coming home with a clean sweep. I'd like it.
Hey, now, are the coaches going to get to wear those awesome uniforms?
We have some good sponsors that gave us some good clothing. Driven out of right out of the Clarksville area, and then Smith and Harvey, I believe it was, gave us some really cool sweatshirts and stuff. So the whole team will have that. Now, as far as us wearing the Fighter Source uniforms, I haven't gotten much sun yet, so you're not going to see those pasty white legs. The reflection out the light could hinder the fighters. I don't think they'd let me wear them if they gave them to me. So, but no, it's mostly the fighters that are going to wear that. We'll be wearing the sponsor gear.
Yeah, those Fighter Source shorts were sick, man. And I like the gloves.
Yeah, I thought they were pretty cool.
Teal green? Is that a teal green on the gloves, or like is it a green similar to what's on the shorts?
I think it's a green similar to what's on the shorts. They did a good job with everybody's uniforms. I mean, they were pretty creative with it. So whoever they had doing it. And Fighter Source, they've been great. I mean, this being our first trip with them, a rodeo, if you will, they've taken care of us, a very professional league. They helped a lot with, I'm sure you've heard, if you haven't, young man, he's fighting cancer and been in the gym and he really wanted to come watch it. And Fighter Source donated quite a bit of money, and we've raised quite a bit of money. He'll be up there cheering the National Renegades on. He's a good kid.
Has he been able to maintain training during this time, Mike?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've got 9 pros, and every one of them is fighting in the next 2 months, 2.5 months. We've got one of our shows, BMF Invitational. It's the second one. We're looking at a huge turnout for it. We've got Corey Alexander and Mike French fighting as a main event. And on most of the websites, both those kids are ranked in the top 100 in the world in their weight class. So, we've got to keep the pros moving. We keep training more and more. I have less and less free time. So, man, everybody's been training hard.
We, you know, you guys have got a ridiculous amount of talent, honestly, coming out of that gym. You know, a gym that we picked for the gym of the year in 2013, you know.
Thank you, by the way.
Oh, it's you and your team that's done it. With all this growth, expansions, you know, everything going on, for you personally, what's been the most difficult aspect to take on?
Right now, as Ron's being a pain in my butt, he actually thinks he's funny by it. He let go of the wheel and he's making me drive to the passenger seat and talk on the phone. No, but he thought he was pretty cute. But you know, it puts a target on you. That's one thing it does. Most of the smack talk and things of that nature, it is just pumping things up. But I mean, you know, we get all the from East Tennessee and you know, Georgia and some of the, you know, western areas of the Carolinas and stuff like that, is it's always, you know, the East versus the West. And, you know, there's like a unification of gyms out there that want to beat up our kids, and they're always talking about the West or the Middle. There is no West or Middle. It's just us. You know, I mean, nobody joins forces with us. You know, we're kind of, you know, I feel like the Spartan aspect at Thermopylae is that how it gets to feel. And, you know, when you have that, you know, you get somebody like you guys that will say that we're, you know, voted us gym of the year. I mean, people hear that and that they want to knock you down. So, I mean, we've got such a tough group of kids, though. We're all excited about it. I mean, we're happy when people want to call us out or, you know, challenge us to do something, and we'll find a way to get it done.
So you, when you guys obviously hear that banter, and with today's social media being such a prevalent part of the combat sports world, do you use that as a tool then in the gym to, you know, hey, guys, this group coming up to our town says, you know, blah, 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 blah about us, and we're going to prove them wrong by working this much harder? Or do you just let it blow over and don't even worry about it?
You know, you use it, any fuel you have for the vehicle you use. And, you know, the nice part is I'll use it to get kids motivated and stuff like that, but I really don't need it. I mean, they feed off each other. And, you know, that's one of the nice things about the gym is we're a big family at the same time as, you know, people come in and, you'll know, you know, within the first week or two if they're going to be a fighter and if they're going to stay or not. And, you know, they motivate each other. Nobody wants to let each other down. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to be the guy that, you know, I don't mind a loss. Losses happen in competition. You just, no regrets. You know, you don't quit on yourself. You don't quit on your teammates that helped you get to this point. So, I mean, to answer your question again, yeah, we use it as a motivator, but, like, I really don't need it for these guys. I just have such a wonderful group of, you know, hard-minded individuals.
Do you ever just sit back and watch the group and just in amazement how that machine is running so smoothly?
I do, and one of the funny parts about it is, too, they won't realize how smooth they're running, how much everything is clicking. There are times at practice where I can just kind of sit back and, you know, be quiet and just kind of watch everybody working, and I love those times, too, because, you know, that shows everybody's working hard and they're focused. And, you know, I mean, you got to have fun too. I mean, we'll cut up and we'll make light of things. We're a very Western style gym. Yeah, man, I mean, these kids work so well together. And the thing is, you can't have an individual that's really, really good and, you know, expect him to get better with guys that are subpar in the gym. We have excellent fighters right now at every weight class, and they just keep getting each other better.
Okay. Now, obviously, you know, there's different progressions, there's different groups. I know, obviously, the big pro fighters, you know, that are up there right now that are making waves in the sport are key individuals that you really got to focus on. But when you have some of the younger kids or the younger amateurs coming in to, like, from a gym where obviously they didn't get maybe the correct training or have the right kind of, you know, state of mind to be doing this. When you see a kid there and you could tell that this kid's got so much raw talent, it's just not been molded correctly, do you get excited again? Is that like another fire lit under you?
Like, the guys will tell you too, like, honestly, I'm excited all the time about it. It is, you know, everybody has their thing in life that they embrace either as a hobby or that becomes obsessive. This is my thing, and I do it. When I see a kid that's very athletic and just has raw talent, I get excited about it. The cool part is a lot of times the older guys that are actually, you know, whether they're high-level amateurs or pros and they're being successful. You know, they don't ostracize that kid and, you know, put him out because he doesn't know anything yet. When they have the time, they'll get him better because, you know, if we build that kid in 4, 5, 6 months, he may be one of the training partners that really helps these other kids get ready and at some point in time may be a pro himself.
Now, you know, obviously, you know, Ron, you guys, the gym, it's growing. The name's growing. Obviously, you know, all over the world now, actually. You know, good friends of ours, the Tunisian Fighters, obviously, good friends of your gym. Their growth right now is blowing up, you know, in that part of the world. How excited are you as a coach to see your name on such a young art in a country that just 3 years ago legalized it because of this group of guys?
Well, it's humbling. You know, I'm getting older. I'm not too much worried about any credit for myself. And, you know, while I play a role as, you know, when the guys win and when they do, they're the ones in there, you know, getting punched at and things of that nature. So, you know, like I said, it's exciting for me, and obviously I'm happy about it, but I'm just so happy for the guys. Having experienced victory under that individual competitive circumstance, knowing what it's like to get your hand raised and you know, knowing what they're feeling, I mean, honestly, that is just the coolest thing ever. I mean, and to know that's being experienced by other people that possibly hadn't had a chance to do it yet because of the regulations in their country or in their area of the world is, you know, it's even that much more gratifying.
Yeah, you know, we're just like yourself. We're big fans, especially when we see all that, honestly, kind of pure energy for the sport that hasn't been, you know, commercialized to them, you know, or, you know,
right,
to where, you know, guys are buying belts or they're shoving crap down your throat that, you know, is not really good, you know, jiu-jitsu or good, you know, Muay Thai. So when you see groups like that, you know, do you see any difference now than when you first got into the sport, these young developing groups around the world versus when you first came in? Or do you still see that same raw passion?
You know, I do see a difference because back when, you know, myself or Ron, you know, some of the old heads, as we call it, when we were back doing things, I mean, things weren't even legal half the time we were off, you know, whether you're talking fields or basements or warehouses or whatever you were doing, per se, is, I mean, you didn't have the awareness, and even people that may not be that proficient at the sport itself yet, they come in from being able to watch things like the UFC or Bellator or, you know, XFC Legacy, all these fight shows that are on now. Usually they'll have some education, and if they don't know what to do, they know what they're supposed to be doing a lot of times. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a bad thing because you have to unteach them what they're doing wrong from watching it on TV, and you know, and then build them back up. So I mean, you know, it's a catch-22. It's good and bad.
Okay, I definitely got one more question. I'll let Lapaki get a couple minutes in if he wants, but I definitely want to know. With, you know, today you have so many kids out there that are learning to fight, and a lot of them are going to be high school football players, let's be honest. They'll talk about, you know, the major fight they had 10 years from now, but that's as far as it's going to go. Then you have that
right
group that does want to try to make this a career. Okay. And inside that group, you have a couple of different subcategories. You got the guys who are really going to do it, the guys who will never make it, and the guys who have egos. Now, this is about the guys with egos. How do you break a guy with an ego who has the talent?
I just to be totally honest with you, I don't. You know, it's kind of like you can use certain things for tools. Is if a guy has, I mean, I'll throw out a name for you, and you're probably familiar with him, is Nate Landwehr. Nate the Train,
yep.
You familiar?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, very much.
Love him to death. And it is a big family. I mean, you're talking Nate, Corey Alexander, Chris Coggins. I mean, the list goes, you know, we have a very deep team there. And we've picked up some new guys you'll hear more of that just came back to us that are pros. But Nate is that way. The way you see him in interviews, the way you see him in fights, I mean, that is him all the time. I mean, it's not an act. He's like that. And when he walks into the gym, I mean, he'll tell you. He'll just be like, he's like, who am I knocking out today? Who's bleepity bleep and I'm whooping today? I can't be beat. When he gets beat, he gets back up. He goes, all right, I can't be beat this time. is you have to temper it. But, man, it's, you know, I mean, if that's the type of mindset you're going to have and you're going to carry that into the cage where you're not getting beat and I am the best, you know, and as long as you're willing to understand you still can get better, I mean, I'll take it and I'll run with it. I mean, if that's what fuels a kid is he thinks he's the greatest in the world, if he tempers it just enough to let me know that he's willing to get better and he's still willing to learn, which Nate does, man, the sky's the limit for the kid. Like, he won't break mentally. And, I mean, shoot, you've seen it. This is what you do, too, so. And how many kids have you seen lose because they broke mentally because something didn't work out right in the first, second, or third round? Kids with egos like that, man, is it's tough to break those kids because they think they're supposed to win, and they're going to make sure it happens.
I think Uriah Hall is a great example of that. If his opponent shows him much resistance, he kind of crumbles after the first round.
He does. You know, I don't know the man personally, but from being an educated, you know, person in the sport, I think you hit the nail on the head. What an amazing athletic talent with some issues, it seems, as far as his confidence in himself when things don't go his way.
Yeah, I think that's the best example I can think of. And I'm also glad, Mike, that you touched on Nate, because I was actually going to ask you if you thought that him becoming a father may kind of temper some of that.
Is what? Yeah, well,
didn't Nate just recently have a child?
No, Chris Coggins did.
Oh, okay.
Chris, super tough kid also, you know, Bellator vet, everything. But, no, Chris just did. And actually, on Chris's behalf on that, you will see the old and, if you will, new Chris Coggins. He is remotivated. I mean, sometimes a child does one or two things. It tells you, okay, it's time to slow down, or it tells you it's time to get going because I want to, you know, do the best I can for you know, this little guy in the fight world, and that's what Chris is, you know, committed to. They just had the baby like a week ago, so.
Yeah, I think I must have saw a picture with Nate holding the baby and was like, oh, that's
yep,
Nate's
that's
kid.
That's what it was. But like I said, we're all very, very close, so, you know, Nate's there. I'm working on something really big for Nate. We'll definitely let you guys know if it comes through, but, you know, next big fight is Corey versus Mike French. Ought to be, you know, French is a former WEC guy, and, we're really excited about it, man. So,
are things going really good for Corey right now with training and everything?
Oh, training now that he's healed up, his shoulder's healed up, the nerve problems he was having, training's going great. He's back 100 miles an hour, and, I mean, he beat basically the last three fights he had, he beat the number one guys in each part of the country over in D.C., Virginia, then here when he beat Chris Wright, you know, Tennessee, Kentucky, and then he went out to Oklahoma and beat the former King of the Cage champ. So, I mean, we're looking forward to continuing this forward. I mean, another fight or two, we should get the interest in the group we're looking at. They're starting to watch him, so.
Well, let me ask you this, okay? With his talent and his showmanship and his flair, something we bring up a lot on this show, why aren't we seeing him just go overseas where he can fight regularly and make good money?
Talking about Nate or Corey?
Nate.
Nate, that's what I figured, the flair. When you said the flair, I figured you were talking about Nate. Actually, Nate's under contract with the XFC until September, and, you know, hopefully, and I love, John's done great, you know, by us, and we've had a lot of fun on the show. He also cleared Nate when Nate won that title at 3FC against Townsend, great fight against Adam. We have opportunities possibly that you mentioned that, possibly Brazil, and then later in the year, depending on how things go with contractually. I mean, maybe even overseas to Russia and stuff. The opportunities are there. They're sitting there. It's just you know how politics go, if you will.
Yeah, the game has to be played in order to be able to fight.
Yeah, and that's what's going on right now. And I don't have a bad word to say about anybody because nobody's really doing anything wrong. It's just getting everything, you know, figured out and, you know, smoothed out to where we can get it happening.
Well, yeah, I personally think, you know, and we touch on it, for me and Lopaki, there's about four or five legitimate, solid-paying, good companies out there outside the United States, and there's a couple of them, I think, that, you know, I know you mentioned Russia, and I know you mentioned Brazil. You know, he's somebody I think that would fit really well down a Jungle Fight, the way they do their shows, sure. The way they sell it. I also think he would be a great sell for the Russian market, whether you go Fight Nights or you go M1 or, you know, one of those two organizations. I think he's something the fans over there would really eat up. They would, you know, like his attitude, his style, his flair, all that put together. So I'm not saying that John doesn't have a phenomenal organization and is not growing like monster. Sure. And I love him, and I love their organization, and a lot of their fighters we're good friends with. But, sure, you know, at a point, you know, he's going to be in the same circle. You know, maybe it's time he stretches out and looks overseas. That's just my opinion as a fan of him and as somebody who follows the sport. I think ultimately Russia would be the best sell. I personally believe he would take off there very well.
Well, you're a smart man because some of those organizations you just mentioned, we have offers for him basically sitting on Ron's desk. But, you know, when we do things with, you know, we're really adamant about you're doing things with people, you're doing the right way. If you're under contract with somebody, you know, you make sure things are working, you know, to a mutually beneficial situation for both parties. And, you know, we're getting some opportunities with some things, and, you know, hopefully things work out with the XFC after the contract is up. If it doesn't, there's multiple contracts, and it's funny you touched on that because one of them is right in that area, and you mentioned the organization. A lot of times, like, they're looking at Nate like, what a wonderful to bring over to play the role of the crazy American. You know what I mean? Because he's prototypical for that. I mean, that's, you know, like, I agree with you. Overseas, he would just be a monster because they'd love watching him fight. Win or lose, they'd love watching that kid fight. We plan on winning.
I think a trip down to South Africa is kind of in order.
Oh, that's a great...
You know, I have some friends down in South Africa. We've been talking about going down there. How is the fight scene down there? I know a couple of tough kids from down there.
Africa is... I mean, me and Skippy have been following them for probably 2, 3, 4 years now. And
yeah,
dude, they are a ton of fun to watch their fights. They just had Ruan, was it Pasa just signed, Skip?
Yep. After he won the title, he vacated and came to the UFC. And when I thought it, I thought it was going to be Pena. I'll be honest. I said at the beginning of the year that Pena would leave UFC to go and fight at 125 in the UFC, and he ended up vacating his title, going up to 135. Potts gave up his title and came to the UFC. So,
okay.
I'll tell you right now, this organization, no BS. They run in like hundreds of movie theaters. They run on FX down there. They run some of the most amazing promotionals before an event that you've ever seen. I mean, I'm talking, they bring fighters in a week out. You do 10, 15 shows, malls, take you to the coast. I mean, it's amazing. And their fights are crazy good.
Yeah, they have some solid Muay Thai down there.
Yeah, I think Tenye Dixon is waiting to go fight there still. I'm not sure really what's going on with that totally. I know he was having some visa issues, but I know he was intending to go fight over there.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're all friends, guys. You guys put in a word for us. We'll travel to South Africa, believe me.
Well, you know, hey, we got about 2-3 minutes before our next guest, so take this time, man. Anything you want to get out, any information about the gym, social media, any sponsors, anybody you want to thank, anything you want to say about Ron, because he can't rebut, whatever, go for it.
Right. Oh, so I get to – Ron's a great guy. It's been great working with him. Just wanted to, you know, shout out to all the teammates at SSF, everybody that's in there working every day, all the guys getting ready to fight on the Fighter Source. Nashville Renegades against New York Syracuse Gladius. Hopefully whoop them. All our pros, Nate Landwehr, Corey Alexander, Zach Odom, Chris Coggins, Jeremy Moran's coming back and fighting a kid you haven't heard of yet named Russell Ellaby, but he's a nasty kid. Then we've got Matt McIntyre, just a bunch of tough kids. Also, check out the Hip Show. I can't give you too much information on it yet, but I'm sure you guys are familiar with it. Should be some pretty cool news coming up with that. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming, man. Wait till you hear some of the news that's coming. But and finally, we've got a really big show. We've got Budweiser, Harley sponsoring, a bunch of really cool sponsors. June 28th, the BMF Invitational. It's a pro-am event. So anybody that wants to jump on Fighter-wise, man, have them get in touch with Ron and myself at who we want to send them to. info@ssfgear.com. That's fine. So, yeah, we'd be excited to have you. You guys should come down.
I will try to get a. We have some team members out in the area. We'll try to get somebody there for sure. I will get on that this like ASAP. Though me and Lepaki keep talking about taking a trip out there off the West Coast and coming and hanging out there at some shows. So, you know, maybe that's what we should do.
Well, if I get everything straightened out, you guys can give me a microphone. I'll make it entertaining. I'll interview everybody for you. So.
Hell yeah.
Hey,
Mike, we hope you guys have the best of luck taking Ron back up to his old stomping grounds this weekend. And 8-0, 6-2, let's see how it goes, man.
John's great. I really appreciate you guys and all that you do.
Thank you very much, man.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Oh, Lepaki, what a great way to start the show. Those guys are doing such big things, killing it, man. I'd like, you know, no disrespect to the XFC, but, you know, sometimes you've played in the yard too long and you need to go and stretch your legs. You know, it's not a bad thing.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, I was just reading over that Titan. Dude, these guys, they have the worst or the best luck. I just can't figure out which. I mean, they get these amazing sponsors, amazing fighters, and then the fights fall apart, and this deal doesn't work. And the next thing you know, they're back even bigger and better. So it's like, I get so up and down. But I believe we have the man himself live, Alfonso Gonzalez. How you doing tonight, brother?
Not too bad. How you doing, bro?
Oh, living the dream, brother. Are you just getting out of the gym?
Something like that. Kind of to get a little break.
We hadn't had you on for a little bit. We know you went up to Canada, did some ass kicking, and now you've come back down and you're setting up to do it again here in the near future. So we just wanted to catch up the fans with what's going on. First of all, your trip to Canada, overall, how much did you enjoy it? Obviously the win was great, but how did you enjoy the trip?
The trip was awesome. It was fun. We got treated very well. There's nothing bad to say about that promotion and the way Isaac and them guys treated us. We had an awesome time, and of course a win was a cherry on top. It was awesome.
Did you like traveling to fight?
Yeah, I actually did. It was actually awesome. It was pretty cool. We were able to. I was just stayed low key until the fight was over. I was just stayed in my room and. We went out to lunch and stuff with Eddie and Alvin, but I pretty much just chilled in the hotel and until it was time to go and do my job. So yeah, no, it was definitely awesome.
Well, I tell you what, it was great to see you go up there and get that victory. You know, there was a lot of rumbling behind that on some of the shows and some of the folks up there. You know, did you take any of that? Did you hear any of that before you went up?
Yeah, I did. Hearing my opponent talk, he was a cool dude. He's definitely awesome. Most respects for him, and I know he was a tough dude. I usually try not to get caught up in all that, but I know that I was facing a tough opponent probably going into his backyard. I probably wasn't the favorite, but I don't pay attention to that stuff. I just kind of focus on what I bring to the table and how I'm going to perform that night.
Now, did it feel good to know that a huge portion of the MMA community in Canada was saying your name the next day and the rest of that weekend?
Yeah, it was actually pretty awesome. I would have never imagined it. I mean, let alone, you know, getting up there and fighting in Canada. I mean, if you would have asked me that back when I started doing jiu-jitsu that eventually I'd fight in Canada, I probably would have never believed anybody who told me that. But we're doing it now, and it's awesome. You know, I'm having a good time. I'm with a great group of guys and a good team, and you know, we're staying busy and having fun doing it.
Now, we know you got a good fight coming up against Torgensen, at Cage Sport, and we'll touch on that in a second. But as for this trip, would you like to start traveling more to fight then? Was it that, you know, was that something you want to start doing now regularly?
Yeah, actually, I mean, I'm up for whatever. I'm game for wherever the fight's at. That's where we'll go. I mean, I'm up for whatever. I mean, if there's a good fight and, you know, the coaches agree on whoever it is we're fighting and wherever we're going. I mean, I'm up for whatever. I'm game for it. So, you know, just as long as Eddie keeps lining them up and you know, I'm down, ready to go. We've been sitting. We had 8 months off, so I was just excited to get back in there and kick the year off again.
Well, coming up, you're facing Jared Torkinson, somebody from your neck of the woods. He's had some good fights up there. He's been kind of, you know, regional like you, but you know you're starting to stretch out. But you've taken this fight. Was this something you'd planned to take previous to the Canada trip, or was this something you decided to take after the Canada trip?
You know, it all came down to one night of decision making. Eddie, you know, we had actually the Canada trip already scheduled, and Ferguson was in the works. It just wasn't finalized, and we were waiting for K Sports to get back to us. And we were set up for Canada, and we had a few guys that I just didn't go through. So they were looking for somebody else. So we were training, just we weren't sure what was going to pop up. And then one night, Eddie told me, "Hey, they got a guy who's 10-4 up in Canada. You want to take the fight?" And we talked about it back and forth, and I said, "Well, let's do it. I mean, we're not going to know how good we are until we venture off and fight guys with bigger records and more experience." And then the Torkinson was pretty much 30 minutes later, he was like, "Hey, Torkinson for the third, what do you think?" So I was like, "Well, I mean, that's what we're here to do. I mean, if all goes well on the 12th, then we'll definitely be ready for the third." And I just, you know, put more focus on the 12th, went up to Canada. We did what we needed to do, came out with a clean bill of health, and now we're getting prepared for May 3rd.
You know, folks out there who might not know, he's been in quite a few title fights. He's been a contender in a couple of different places. He's got substantially more fights under his belt than you do as a pro. Do you think his record is misconceiving?
Not at all. I'm not worried about his record at all. We're both meeting in the center of the cage May 3rd, and that's all I'm worried about. Just, you know, I'm fighting him. I mean, his record, I don't pay any attention to that or get myself all hyped up over that. I mean, I know he's a tough opponent, and I know he's a veteran. He's been there, you know, in the trenches and has had tough fights. And that's what I'm training for and I'm expecting. And we will be prepared for that. So, you know, I don't really focus on the record. Just being overall prepared for the gentleman I'll be meeting May 3rd.
Well, you know, I'm excited. I know a lot of fans are. I mean, Lopaki have talked about this fight. He actually said it earlier tonight on the show that he believes that, you know, the main event is going to have some big shoes to fill.
So, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm expecting a war. I mean, he's a tough guy, and I know, you know, Harrington and Brokenshire, they're tough as well, and they're, you know, that's going to be a good fight as well. But yeah, you know, I know he's ready to bring it. I'm ready to bring it, and it'll be a good night.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting night, man. Who have you been able to work with in camp?
Everybody. I mean, we've had it. You know, our team, Eddie down. You know, we had Byron coming in, grappling and stuff, working on some ground, and you know, working with Alan on, you know, with their hands, and then you know, just the guys that come in every day. We got Nick and Rob, Robert Armis, Dominic, and then we have a new addition to the team. He's starting to train. We got Grady, and you know, it's going to be Larry actually made it in yesterday as well. So we got a lot, you know, a few guys coming in, and we got another wrestler, Wyatt, who comes in. So we have a lot of good guys and a lot of big guys. So they definitely helped me out.
Excuse me. Obviously, you know, we know most of the guys that, you know, are you're working with. You know, working with Eddie, especially, you know, on so many aspects, and it seems like you guys are becoming even a tighter and tighter bond. Does he ever sit you down and talk to you about, you know, situations when he fought that are similar to the situation. Maybe you're having a tough day at camp, you know, because of something personal. Does he ever sit down and just, you know, relate a story from his past to you?
Yeah, he's definitely done that. He's definitely done that on numerous occasions. I mean, just let me know. We're there training, you know, you're going to have your off day and you have your good day. And, you know, if I get down on myself or whatever, he'll definitely let me know, hey, you know, just rest up and we got something going on tomorrow, you know, we'll work on this or, you know, give me different pointers on what to work on each day. And, yeah, definitely the tight knit with him guys has definitely been awesome. And as a head coach and Alan as, you know, our striking coach, I mean, them guys have definitely, you know, it's awesome having them in my corner. It's almost like we're just, it just works when we're out these fights and they're, you know, the guys are in my corner. It's awesome. It's just, I couldn't ask for anything else.
Now, looking at your fight banner, you've got jail sucks, bail bonds. Have any of your buddies called you to use that yet?
No. No, yeah, which is kind of funny. But, yeah, no, nobody's called me to use that.
Dude, that's a cool spot.
I hope they don't either.
I mean, like, I don't know. As a fighter, you know, that's a cool sponsor, man. Because, you know, sometimes you get a little drinking and things get a little rowdy. That's a pretty cool little sponsor right there.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. And, you know, hats off to them for supporting me and stuff. And, you know, definitely want to thank them.
Don't you have another new sponsor from last time? Like, what was it? Multiple of five?
Yeah, that's just the kind of something we came, Eddie came up with. It's just a kind of, I don't know how I would call it. It was just on our way to Canada. It was just a multiples of five. It was just something that was a reoccurring incident, and it just continued to occur throughout our trip up there. So it was just something between us, and it's kind of funny. So yeah, that's
okay.
Why he threw the multiples of five on there.
Okay, because I was like, I couldn't find anything about the company, so I was gonna ask you.
Yeah, no, it's just between us. Yeah, it was a reoccurring incident that just kept on happening, and five being the number, it was pretty crazy, but it worked out.
I love it, dude. You guys put an inside joke on your fight banner. That's classic. That's classic.
Eddie's the man.
Oh, one speed, dude. I love you, but here's what's funny is, you know, that nickname is always going to be able to stick with Eddie, even when he's like 70, because his one speed will be slower than it is today.
Wow.
I got to give it to Eddie, man. Hey, I got to razz him. That's what happens when you're a Boston Red Sox fan.
Dude, yeah. I'm going to remember that comment, and then like a week before Cage Quest 5, I'm going to play that for Eddie so that when you go up there, he'll remember.
Oh, I'm not Jeff Munson. I can run, okay? I'll be gone. I'm not dumb. I'm not dumb at all. I'm not going to fight Eddie. I don't want to hurt him. He's my friend.
So, has Eddie been going with you guys very hard in the gym?
No, Eddie never goes hard with us. Eddie always goes 20%.
That's what I heard.
That's like one speed. He could tell us 20%. Next thing you know, you're getting blasted in the face.
Yeah, I think the only time Eddie kicks it up a gear is when he's on his way to the fridge for a Coors Light.
Oh.
He stays on us. Him and Alan are definitely in there working us. So, I mean, we've been getting some good workouts in.
Having multiple guys at the gym getting ready for fights? Because you got a fight the 3rd. Rob has one the 17th. You guys are all kind of getting ready together, man. How nice is that?
It is nice. Everybody has the same intensity, brings the same, the same work ethic to the gym. So we're all pushing just as hard as the next person. So, I mean, it definitely carries over, and we knock these workouts out, and, you know, everybody's just bringing it. So it definitely is great.
How frustrating is it when Rob's hands get going if you're sparring with him?
With that?
How frustrating can it be if Rob gets his hands going?
Yeah, it can be pretty frustrating because he's quick. He's in and out. He's quick. Got good footwork. Likes to come over the top with that overhand right. So, yeah, when he starts firing away, you're like, man, get out of here. You just want to kick him. But if we're just boxing, you can't. But, yeah. It's awesome. I mean, I say that's the same with everybody that we train with. I mean, everybody, you know, if everybody's having, you know, getting on whoever it is, their good days are definitely are great. I mean, and you notice it because, you know, you just have no answer for it. So, I mean, everybody has their good days and bad days. And, you know, when someone's on, they're definitely on, and we all notice it.
Now, has part-time stayed part-time, or has the win got him in the gym more often?
Oh no, part time's in here. Robert Armis, he's in here. He was here. We did some. Good solid workout on Monday. He was here, pushed it, and turned up the pace. He's in here tonight and getting it done. So yeah, no, he's. We were telling him he's part time all the time. He looks at us and says, "That doesn't even make any sense." So, yeah, it's what works, right?
Exactly, man. I mean, it seems to fit. Now, is he planning on getting back in the cage here pretty soon, or?
Yeah, him and Eddie are talking. Eddie always has something coming up, so he just keeps everybody informed and asks who's interested in fighting or, you know, when something's coming up. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll be back in here shortly.
Dude, I would almost like to see Robert just do, like, a boxing or kickboxing match.
Yeah, you know, actually they're talking about maybe doing something this weekend. We'll see what's up or, you know, it's in the works. I mean, nothing's in stone, but, I mean, he had a last kickboxing match he ended up winning, and he did awesome. I think he felt comfortable and did an awesome job, and then followed that up with a win at Cage Quest, big victory, and he got the finish, and that was definitely awesome, and something he worked hard for, and you know, he definitely deserved it.
Hell yeah. Now, you got about a week and a half left, man. How much hard training do you got left?
Probably a lot. I don't know. Whatever the guys, every day is a mystery. We show up and they get us going. And, you know, whatever the schedule's like. I mean, it's hit or miss. I mean, Alan's here. We got tons of stuff going on and we'll probably stay working out pretty steady until you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then still just work on drilling our, you know, it's our technical aspect of our game and just keep it nice and light. But, yeah, we still got a few hard days of training.
Now, will you take any time off the week of the fight from work?
Just cut weight. Yeah, I just take a day off to cut weight. That way I make sure I'm on weight and you know, spend a day cutting and then make sure I'm good.
Are you looking forward to that day?
Yeah, I always look forward to the days off. It's great.
No, even to cut weight, bro?
Oh, yeah, cutting weight's not that bad.
Do you stay at home for that, or does the missus kick you out and tell you to get as far away from her as possible?
Actually, I don't get too grumpy. I just can't. I lose my voice, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I sleep. So, like, Thursday night I cut a little few, and then Friday is a big cut. So Thursday night after the cut, I usually go home, relax, drink something, and have a fruit or something, and then wake up in the morning and rest up, get everything ready for the day of the weigh-ins, and then go cut until I'm good, and then go get on the scale. On weight.
Hey, Alfonso. A fan question from out in Missouri. They want to know, are you interested in going after titles? They feel like, according to him, he says he feels like you just want to fight. Is titles something you're after, or you just want to fight?
Yeah, you know, whatever works. I mean, taking fights, I mean, I definitely want to fight. You know, being gone, you know, being out for 8 months, Eddie and Alan, you know, have up their sleeve. Whatever fight is out there, we'll definitely, you know, jump on it. Of course, if it makes sense. But yeah, I mean, titles, it's awesome. You know, yeah, that'd be great to fight for a title. Of course, I mean, I would definitely, you know, want to fight for a title. But, I mean, if we have more fights and other fights that are going to be other places and, you know, good opportunities, then why not? But, yeah, just wanting to fight is definitely one of my goals this year. And just excited for it, you know what I mean? If we're healthy. Like I said, we've been out for a little while, and it feels good to get back in there. And I told Eddie, you know, you go ahead and just let me know who we're fighting and when we're fighting, and I'll do the training and the rest. You and Alan can scout them out and do the homework, tell me what I need to do to win, and I'm game.
I love it. You know, we got a few minutes left before we get close to the end of the show with you. Go ahead and take this time now, man. Any shout-outs, any sponsors, anybody you want to thank, anything like that, social media, whatever, go for it.
Yeah, all my sponsors, you know, they've backed me for this fight. E&R Promotions, Cage Quest, Revolver for doing the banners, and he always, you know, gets our shirts done and stuff. GSX Bail Bonds, thank them. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards for mouthpieces. MMA Madhouse, you guys are awesome. You guys, you know, been backing me, you know, since I can't even remember. And Northwest Elite, you know, the fight team, Tacoma's Fight Shop, they always hook me up. Fight Skin, Venom Fight Skins, they always get me, you know, squared away. And then Eddie and Allen. And then the guys that are in, you know, in the gym working with us, we got Nick, Rob, Ken, Dominic, Robert Armas, Led Pereira, Wyatt, and Byron for coming in and helping us out. And then, like I said, we have a new addition to the team, Grady. We'll get him in there, and he'll be doing some big things when he, you know, gets squared away. And then just all the family back in California, and I got some got my sister and brother-in-law and my nieces and nephews out in Australia. They've been following me and supporting me, which is awesome. And then Autumn and Iris, the two girls are special in my life. They've been definitely a big support, and her family as well. They've been making it to the fights. They even drove out to Canada to watch me fight, which was awesome. So all them out here in Washington. So, yeah, it's been great.
Well, it's been impressive. I can probably speak for Lepaki on this. It's been great watching you grow from your amateurs into the pros. And I hope to see you travel more personally. I'd like to see you fight more abroad, whether it's the East Coast, more in Canada, even overseas, wherever. I'd like to see you get out there and, you know, do a lot more fighting overseas or at least out of the region. The fans seem to like you a lot up there from what I was told. You know, they got a pretty good reception for you, and especially after your victory, everybody in Canada was talking about you. So I hope to see you go definitely back up there for at least another fight.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, whatever Eddie, you know, Eddie and Alan, you know, they ultimately decide on, you know, what fights are good. And, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm game to fight, you know, whether it's for a title or it's not. You know, I just getting in there and mixing it up. And, you know, this year I just want to just fight. You know, I figure this year I just perform to the best of my ability, perform 100%. You know, if I get the win, great. If I lose, hey, you know, no big deal. I performed. I don't have any regrets. And I just want to leave it all on the table and bring it every fight. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Hey, when do you need me to come up and help you work on your rear naked choke and stuff?
This weekend would be great. Yeah, do it. We'll definitely, yeah. Don't want to get hurt before the fight, but we'll definitely roll.
So, once again, man, we always love having you on, man. We thank you for taking the time. Go enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll all be supporting you and looking to talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. You guys have a good evening, and again, thank you, guys.
Hey, I'll see you in a week and a half, bro.
Awesome. You guys have a good one.
Oh, Lepaki, so far this first hour has been great. We go from Ron and Mike to Zoe. What a great show so far. In the second hour, we're going to be actually talking with a fighter out of Canada, not the one Zoe knocked out. But oh, dude, before we play a commercial and go to break real quick. Dude, so the other night on Boyd's show, he was talking about it. He couldn't get any sleep, And this was the Monday after Zoe. And I was like, hey, I was like, dude, here in America, we have something to help you get to sleep. It's called Alfonso Gonzalez. And, dude, both him and Rick, both him and Rick Doyle were like, oh, that's wrong, Skip.
Only works on Canadians.
Yeah, it only works on Canadians. Oh, yeah, that was some funny stuff. Man, two great guests. I'm going to play a quick commercial and a little bit of music. We're going to go burn a heater, as Lepaki likes to say, because we all need our tobacco and coffee. And we'll be back in 2-2-4. No, I'm just joking. Chuck,
nice.
Roy.
Did you do that little hand signal too?
I did. Carly just laughed at me. She knew exactly what I was doing. Okay, we're back.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Smoke and a whole lot of wine.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
All right, folks. Hour number two. Thank you for everybody hanging out while we went and had a cigarette. Dude, and I'm telling you right now,
Dude, I didn't have a cigarette, man.
Oh, I went and did had one. I went and did had one. Look at that, man. I went and did had one. dude, these new, like, spam things on Facebook where they come to you as friend requests, this is getting stupid.
No, dude, it's
I got... Dude, I got one just now from Love Cruise, and I had, like, four requests, so I just went and clicked them all, and then instantly, dink, Love Cruise, hey, baby, come meet me over here at www.whatever. I was like, crap. So we're sitting here talking before the first guest came on about some of the stuff going on this weekend. Super Gringo Fight 10 will be going down in Brazil Sunday at 1. That is great time for MMA. And then don't forget Desert Force 12 Monday. That's how we start the week right. And that's going off, which is going to be great because I'll be able to go to work and put it on. That's going to be starting at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, dude, but are you going to watch? I think I might watch CFFC on Saturday.
Dude, CFFC's got a pretty nice card, I'll be honest. But we also have U.S. Freedom Fighting Championships, I believe, is this weekend as well, which I was going to probably
Cyrus
catch.
Cyrus in Brazil?
Up. Huh?
Is Cyrus going to Brazil?
He has the last couple of trips. So I would assume he would this trip. But I didn't see him in that picture yesterday with everybody at the children's hospital.
Yeah. I didn't see that either. Maybe he had to stay behind this time.
I mean, I don't love my wife and kids that much.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he had a hip show obligation. Wasn't able to make it.
I'm really... I'd like to know what his numbers were on Access. Because I know how good it does. Yeah, I know. I should just Vox him real quick. Hey, we're live on the show. Give us your numbers. Because in Russia, obviously on Russian 2 and on Fight Live or Fight TV, they both run reruns, probably 8, maybe 10 reruns a week. And then Eurosports 2 has been running it too. So the original hip show before it came to America. So it's obviously popular over there.
Dude, I think it's awesome. But I think the thing that is hindering it is that people are, like, trying to, like, be like, MMA, this, it's not that. It's not.
No. Not in any way, shape,
it's
or
like,
form.
It's like, I mean, can I even say, like, it's like playing Smear the Queer, kind of, with, you know, but using, you know, you're fighting.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Somebody asked me the other day at the bar, excuse me, about that, you know, we're talking about it. Larry, it was. You know Larry.
Oh, yeah. Gray hair.
So,
great
yeah.
Beard.
So we were sitting there talking, and I was talking to him about it and explaining it to him, and then I showed him a clip. And I said, Larry, basically what it is it's two-on-two urban combat. If you walked out of a bar in the city at 2 a.m. with your buddy, and two thugs come up to you in the alley, this is the layout. You have obstacles just like you would in an alley. You have two-on-two, just like you would in an alley. And he's like, I dig it, you know. So we watched an episode, and he thought it was pretty decent. He's like, hey, this ain't too bad, you know. But you can't even mention MMA. It's urban combat in close quarters. I mean, that's his best description as you could get.
Man, it's like that game we used to play in the wrestling room where everybody would line up on an end. You put somebody in the middle, and then everybody would run by, and the dude would try to tackle you. You know, I mean, it's more like that stuff than it is MMA for me, dude. I mean, just look at it for what it is, man. It's entertaining. It's exciting. It's fun to watch. I mean, good. I mean, what more do you want?
I agree. That's all you need. It is exactly what you said it is.
You know what I mean? I think, like, far too often, like, people try to, like, they're like, it needs to be this. No, man. It's this. Like, this is what it is. It's these dudes trying to, you know, be the king of the pit
or the, you know, the king of the playground or the king of the yard or whatever.
Well, and you're right, because we've had, you know, like Chuck Norris's league that went for a little bit, you know, and we've had other variations of combat sports. You know, it's not always MMA, and that's, I think you're right, that's where like the Zuffa Zombies are like, oh, that's crappy MMA, you know, because they want Dana White to come out and put a cage around it and tell them that's the only way there is to fight in this world. That's it. Anything else is a joke, and that's not true. Don't get me wrong, folks, we got trash MMA everywhere. Like these sand volleyball fight pits, stupid. These 5-on-5, stupid. I mean, this basketball.
I even enjoy the 5-on-5, bro.
I prefer the hooligans video 5-on-5 over that cage 5-on-5. Let's be honest. I'd rather watch a set of hooligans do it up.
I guess, you know, maybe I'm like one of the few people, but I just look at something for what it is, and if I find myself smiling when I watch it, I'm probably going to watch it again. And if it's this 5-on-5 or, you know, hooligans or hip show or WWE or, you know, I mean, NBA basketball, I don't really care, man. If I like it, I'm going to watch it, man. But I'm not going to try to put a square peg in a round hole.
Dude,
I think that's what people are trying to do with the hip show right now and this whole MMA comparison or how it's not MMA and it's disrespect. It's not supposed to be that. And so quit trying to, you know.
But look, you're right. I mean, look, and this isn't a huge variation, but it's similar in nature. The hip show, which is combat, and MMA, which is two guys fighting in a cage, you know. Okay, there's similarities there. But you don't ever hear somebody going, oh, that, you know, I'm watching Glory right now, and that's Muay Thai. You know, that's a Muay Thai fight. They say it's a kickboxing fight because it's a completely different sport. Even though it's so similar in so many aspects, you don't see people calling kickboxing Muay Thai or Muay Thai kickboxing. And, you know, so they've got to distinguish the differences. But that's what's wrong with the Zuffa Zombie masses. They don't even understand the basis of the sport they watch.
Dude, Skippy, here's all that matters, bro. This is all that matters. This is all people need to know. The New York badass, Phil Baroni, wants to team up with War Machine and go on the hip show. You don't think – if you think that the New York badass is doing something that's not cool, bro?
Dude, I tell you right now,
how awesome would that be?
there was a guy – first of all, completely awesome. But there was a Russian team. Now, the original of the hip show, they had – it started out on 3-on-3, and then you went 3-on-2, and then you went 2-on-2, and then you went 5-on-5 is how they did it originally. Or was it 4-on-4? I think it was 4-on-4. They did different scenarios. And one of the Russian teams, they had a guy who was probably a 155-er, right around 6 foot, 6 foot 1. And he used to paint his face like a clown, all white with the little clown eyes. And it... Dude, that guy sold it. I mean, he was one of the reasons I started watching it. And that's what you would get with Phil and War Machine. You would get a character on that battlefield. You know what I mean? You would get somebody you would want to watch because of their showmanship and because of how they perform. I mean, yeah, dude, could you imagine Phil and War Machine walking out together to compete in that? Oh, that would be insane.
Oh, dude, that puts a smile on my face, man. Dude, I mean, you know, because, I mean, watching Phil Baroni back in the day, dude, and you know, I know people, you know, War Machine, he's really, you know, off his rocker a lot. But, dude, I think deep down inside, man, the guy has good intentions, and I like watching him fight, and I think that if him and Baroni as personalities, who knows what might happen. They may end up beating up the other team and then fighting each other.
That's what's so cool. And speaking of fighting...
Like,
we got our next...
just turn it into, like, a battle royal.
Well, could you not see at the end of it them two winning and their hands being raised and them looking at each other like, well, I did more work. No, you did. I did more work. You want to settle it? You know, oh, yeah, I could see that. Let's go ahead. We're going to grab Jamie. I believe we got you. Jamie, you there, brother?
Yes, I am.
Hey, welcome to Madhouse Live. Can you hear us
all
right?
Hey, it's a pleasure. Yes, I can hear perfect.
Oh, okay. Well, we want me and Lepaki. I'm Skippy Lepaki, my co-host. We're super excited to have you on. We know some of your boys that you hang out with back home, and you're a beast, brother.
I just gotta know, bro. How much are you eating every day?
Not enough, man. I can't eat enough food, to be honest with you. Especially when it's camp time, when I'm doing like 2 or 3 days, it's like I get on the scale. It's like I'm the opposite of my girl. She's trying to lose weight. I'm trying to gain weight, and I see myself drop 5 pounds. It's like, oh crap! Get a couple steaks in there.
Dude, you need to, Skippy. You know that video you just showed me on Vice? I think Jamie should go watch that. What was it, the Kings of Iceland, or
oh yeah,
the Giants of Iceland?
No, the Giants of Iceland. It's the history of the world's strongest men, because traditionally throughout history they've all come from Iceland, and it's an amazing documentary.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Cool.
It's called I'll post it on your wall. I'll shoot you a link, dude, and post it on your wall. It's a great documentary. But before we get too far into the show, man, for all the fans around the world listening tonight, tell them who you are, where you fight out of, and what your record is.
I'm Jamie Smith, nicknamed J-Bomb. I fight out of Clinch MMA from Vancouver, Canada, and I'm 4-1, fighting for the Battlefield Heavyweight belt in July.
Well, that is, first of all, great organization. I'm glad to see you there. That was something we were trying when we were doing research on you tonight. We saw that you had a fight at Hard Knocks. Was that right or wrong, or did that get canceled?
No, I got offered the fight in Hard Knocks, but I already had the title fight set for July, so it's kind of counterproductive, I guess you'd say. FTA didn't really want me fighting in for another fight before the belt. So kind of put that back on the back burner, but definitely interested in the near future.
Okay, cool. Now, title fight coming up. You've obviously performed for that company before. Do you feel comfortable with the camp so far and everything leading up to this point?
Oh, this camp couldn't be any better. Just the way it's panning out for me. My training partner, Jordan Tracy, is going to be fighting Nick Penner in June 7th, I do believe, for World Series of Fighting. So I'm going to be able to be along his side, help me get ready for that fight. And then also I have my main training partner, Paul Chang, who's fighting in Taiwan in July. And I'm fighting in July as well. So I have both of these guys going to be peaking halfway through my camp and at the end of my camp. So can't get any better. Not hard enough at BC anyways.
Paul,
yeah, I just go around and find them and put them in one room. If you're big and you fight, come on over.
Lepaki, you said something, brother.
I didn't know you were trying. I didn't know what was going on there for a second, man. I was like, he was like,
I was waiting.
How much fun is it working with Ryan?
With Ryan? Which one?
Yeah, Chippy.
Oh, Chippy. Oh, yeah, it's great. I came out for the trial for Team Canada, and was supposed to be going to the tournament out in Kelowna in July. So we're going to battle all those guys, and top guys get sent to Russia and represent Canada. I'm so honored to be a part of that. Also, being able to be around Coltar and Brian and a bunch of other coaches are just high-level, great coaches to be around. And for free, it's couldn't get any better, like I said.
What got you into mixed martial arts?
Pardon me?
What got you into mixed martial arts?
Before I used to play football, and I did really great. I played for York University, did really great my rookie season, and had a little mishap, and I stopped playing football. And I've always been playing sports my whole life, so I needed something to fix that itch, and fighting was right up my alley.
So
also, it also keeps me out of trouble. Like, I've had some trouble growing up, just nothing serious, but I've been on the wrong side of the fence a few times in my life, so I find fighting
haven't
keeps
we
me
all
on the right side. Yeah,
bro,
exactly. If it wasn't for this, I'd be in trouble, so I just wake up every day, do my training, and it keeps me away from all the bad people.
Well, you know, and it's funny, you know, we've talked about this with other people, but becoming part of that family in a gym and with that group of guys to where you guys do so much together, you spend, your family spend time together, you guys spend time away from the gym together, how important is that for you, building that bond?
Oh, so important. I think that's one of the main reasons why I do it, the camaraderie. You know, your boys are helping you, you're helping them. Like, I just got back from Cranbrook, a 10-hour drive, and back just to the corner of my boy Jordan Tracy. And great trip. Had a lot of fun. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be doing this. And, like, and just got in the cage, out of the cage. You know, I'm having a bad day, like, for life problems, or so be it. You have so many shoulders to lean on. Like, I have a bad day in practice, I get, like, half a dozen calls saying, you're all right, is everything good? Da-da-da. And it's, like, it hits the heart. Especially, like, I'm from Ontario. I'm an Ontario boy, so I have my family out here, so it definitely helps me a lot.
Does, you know, having family show up to your events, does that boost your confidence? Does that mess with you mentally at all, either way?
I think it actually helps me. It gives me more of a reason to win. Like, my mom's been to, I think, every one of my fights but one, and she's a very big supporter of me. And I like to think I like to do a lot of it for her, just for the hell I've given her through my teenager years, so she gets something out of it. That's why I told her when I first started this. I told her, I'm getting you a belt and putting it around your waist. I promise you, Mom. And the only loss I have is actually for the belt. I fought Santos for it, and I actually flew her in here for it. And the fight went great. I beat him first round, second round destroyed him. Last 10 seconds, he got on top of me. I covered up. The ref did an early stoppage. So be it. But now I'm back. I beat up the last guy for the number one contender. Now I'm just waiting for an opponent.
Now, you talk about that loss. You know, you seem to just push it to the side. You know, is that how you felt after the loss, or is that something that you've come to terms with since then that's helped you progress?
Well, no, it definitely helped me because, like, even before that, like, I was winning all my fights. So it was like, I look at it like the amateur is, like, you're supposed to learn from your mistakes. And when I'm winning, I'm not really learning nothing. So by losing that fight, even though I did perform great, I still learned. Like, I wasn't as veteran as I should have been. I should have been a lot more calm. I should have been moving. I shouldn't have been just waiting for the bell instead of just sitting there and taking shots. So I definitely learned. And also, I came out really hyped. I was like, my mom was there, all my friends were there. I was so amped up, and I needed to be a little bit more calmer from now on.
Now,
so you bounced back from that Santos fight with, in my opinion, a huge win.
Pardon me?
You, after that Santos fight, when you fought Kyle and beat him, that was a huge win, in my opinion. I mean, Kyle's a beast.
Yeah, you know what? That's from that loss, that's why I got that win, because, like, my coach told me, like, the reason why we lost that fight is because you were too amped up, you weren't relaxed, and this fight, I totally went a different way. Just came out calm, didn't play into the staring in the eyes or him stomping his feet. It was like, you know? And when he got me up against the cage for a little second, I was like, holy crap, this guy's huge. What the fuck am I going to do? And I just kept on thinking. I'm like, you know what, this guy's going to, yeah, this guy's going to make a mistake. Just relax. And sure enough, he gave me a little bit of room. I slipped that uppercut in. I gave him another shoulder bump with another uppercut. He tried to take me down. I let him take me, and I sunk in that choke, and night-night.
Hell yeah, man. That was a huge win. I mean, Kyle was 4-0 at the time, and you knocked him off the top of the mountain, man. That was great.
Yeah, 46 seconds, too.
Yeah.
Like, well, I put in all that work. I trained my ass off. That's one thing about me. I put in a lot of work. I train all day, all night. Non-stop training, and then to be able to do it for 46 seconds, it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I guess that's what training for hard
does,
right?
Man, yeah, but remember, unlike your day job, man, you're not getting paid by the hour in the cage. You get paid
exactly.
For 46 seconds as you get for 15
yeah.
minutes, bro. And actually,
exactly.
You might get paid more
wait.
For 46 seconds. You know, you can maybe make a lot more money for 46 seconds.
Trust me, I can't wait. But I'm trying to do the right steps. I want to make sure I'm a complete fighter before I decide to go pro. I don't want any losses in the loss column at all. I want to be undefeated and go on a tear and do what I do, make sure I'm perfect. And I still got a lot of ways to do, a lot of work to do, a lot of things to learn. And I'm in there every day putting the work in, and I get better and better every day, and I have so much fun doing it.
How nice
to be around the group that I'm with.
Yeah, I mean, how nice is it for you to have a guy like Paul Chang around to work with at this stage in your career to really help you out, man?
It's amazing. Like, we first met out in TriStar. He had a fight against some boxer, this Baraka guy, and he came to our camp just to do his warm-up and stuff. We first met there, and then when he came back, I came back to Van, I ended up bumping into him, and from there on in, we've been inseparable, and he's, like, right beside me through everything. Like, all the problems he's had, like, throughout his whole career, he's warning me. So when the problem comes, I'm already hopping over it because I see it, whereas he had to trip over it. So much easier for me.
Now, growing up, obviously you had an athletic background, but did you mess at any boxing, mixed martial arts, wrestling, anything like that through your high school years?
No, I played hockey from like 13 to about 16, and then high school I played basketball and football, but I never did wrestling or karate or nothing like that. Like, I was always getting in trouble and getting in fights, but that's not really considered that. That's why, like, this sport's good for me, because I have a little bit of an anger problem, and that's what helps me with this is, you know, I have a good training day, and the same guy that would be a dick to me, where I'd be quick to be like, fuck you. I'm not so quick to, because I'm already worn out and I got stuff to lose, so it's not worth it anymore.
Now that you're in, you know, this is your next move in life and a career for some time to come, what has been the most enjoyable aspect of learning mixed martial arts? Have you liked stand up more? Have you liked ground more?
Oh, I love striking. Striking is my favorite for sure.
Have you thought about...
comes a little bit. I love the jits. It's just it's very technical for me, so I learn it a bit slower. I got to rep it out a lot more. My coaches try to keep it nice and basic for me, like kind of like packages, you know, not so technical. But the striking, I strike all day. I love it.
Have you thought about doing any Muay Thai or kickboxing fights?
Yeah, actually, my coach was going to try to throw me an event for next month. So, yeah, definitely interested. But I like MMA just because it's like two men in the cage. It's just like the old days in gladiator time, you know. Two guys, just there's rules, but it's like it's not like kickboxing. The guy goes down, okay, reset. There is no resetting. It's like a real fight, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, obviously, you know, you've taken this new path, you know, in the MMA world. Did you have any reservations when you decided to leave one sport for the other, or was it, this is in my heart, I've got to do it?
Well, this was it. It wasn't really like I had a choice. Like I said, I played, I walked onto a New York University football team. I led the league in sacks my rookie season. I had a altercation with the basketball team at our banquet, and I ended up getting suspended. And it was only for a year, and then I was kind of a little bit younger then and bullheaded, and I was like, screw this. I took it out west. But then while I was out here, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't playing any sports. All I was doing was just lifting weight and being a doorman. And I needed something to scratch that itch. One of my coworkers took me under his wing, started showing me the basics, and I was like, what? I like this shit. And had my first fight, and after my first fight, I won that, and then I realized I was a little bit late starting the sport, so I took off to Montreal. I stayed at TriStar for a couple years, and then after I got good, I came back here, and now I'm ripping the league up.
Wow.
Do you like boxing style, Muay Thai, more kickboxing, or just kind of
I like Muay Thai. I like it all, but definitely like Muay Thai. Why just fists when you can use hands, fists, feet, elbows, knees?
Yeah. More
the merrier, right?
Yeah.
But I still love watching a good boxing match, a good kickboxing match, anything, all of it.
Oh, bro.
I mean, they can be twisted, too. I love watching jiu-jitsu guys go, two good guys going at it. It's beautiful to watch. Same with wrestling. All of it. I love it all. It just the jits comes a little bit slower for me, and for some reason I like hitting things.
Well, look.
Was your mom always cool with you going down this path, or did you have to do some convincing?
Surprisingly, my mom's actually like a good, sweet, nice girl, but she doesn't really have a problem with me fighting. She's actually one of my biggest supporters. Like any of my fights today, she usually records them, and any of the ones I watch, like she recorded, all you can hear her is hit him, smash him, just screaming. This little 120-pound, 5'4" woman. Yeah, it's quite cute, actually.
Will you know, I know you talked about getting a belt. Would you let your mom wear it to the store?
Well, I was hoping that I was going to, like, if I got that belt, like I was supposed to win that fucking fight, I was going to bring her right in the cage and put her around her waist because, like, the reason why I'm here is because of her, you know? She's such a big supporter. But, yeah, of course, she can wear it wherever.
That's cool. That's way cool.
Fitter. Like I said, she's very, very little. But maybe we can tape it on her.
Yeah. After you win it, you're like, can I get a small size, too, for my mom, please?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. A paper mache one or something.
So, hey, somebody step up after he wins that belt. Somebody sponsor him, his mom, a belt. Somebody go out there and get on his banner for a sponsorship in exchange for a belt custom made for his mom.
I'm already talking to Jay about that right now. We still got under 3 months. We got a lot of work to do, too. It's not talking like I already won. We got lots of work to put in. I don't know who the opponent is, but especially right now, that's what sucks about it right now. I don't know who he is, so I don't know if it's a stand-up guy or a wrestling guy, so I just got to train in every aspect evenly and wait till we figure out who he is and wait till my coach gives me the game plan.
Do you prefer that, not to know who it is?
Prefer what?
Do you prefer not to know who it is?
I'd sooner know so I can come up with a game plan. Makes it a little bit easier. But to be honest with you, it doesn't really matter. Like, put him in front of me, I got to fight him, that's what's up. It's for the belt, it's not for just a regular fight. It better be a fucking good guy. Because like, I'm good, so. But definitely it's a lot easier when you have, if you know it's a wrestler, the brother, you know, work on my takedown defense. If it is a wrestler and he's a striker, maybe my wrestling's better. Maybe I want to take him down. Maybe work my jits on him. Wherever I have a better aspect, that's where the fight I'm going to try to take too.
Cool. Lepaki, sorry cutting you off, bro. Yeah. Go.
No, dude, it's all good. Hey, who's the trickiest guy for you to spar with in the gym?
There's actually one guy. He's not even he's just still up and coming. His name's Joel. He's really, really long. He's very, like, karate kid, awkward style. It's so everybody has trouble with him. He's doing, like, spinning this, spinning that. And it's very, very, very hard. It's very weird to fight him. But, yeah, he doesn't fight yet still. He's probably the most difficult just because he gives you a different look, right?
Yeah, you need that. You know, it helps a lot. And sometimes it's fun to see a guy like that because then you know that maybe you could try something like that and see how it works. And because those guys are like,
you can't have the same sparring partners over and over and over. You got to add more people in and different looks because you get accustomed to their tricks. And same with me, they get accustomed to my stuff and you get to a point where you're not growing anymore. So you got to either bring in people or go somewhere else. You got to keep things different. You got to keep changing, especially in the sport now. Everybody's good. Before it used to be, guys would be really good at jiu-jitsu, and they couldn't even throw another jab, and they would be destroying guys because the other guys didn't know any jits. But now everybody knows jits. Everybody can throw a punch. Everybody can wrestle. So you got to be on your A game.
That's very true. More and more these days, especially the younger kids. I mean, these kids are, you know, at 10 years old, they've been doing jits for 5 years, kickboxing for 2, you know, or wrestling for 4 years and, you know, boxing for 1. I mean, it's the generation that will be fighting as pros in about between 6 and 10 years
from
right now.
It's going to be amazing. We're in for it. When I'm retired and I'm able to sit back and watch these guys, it's going to be amazing to sit down and watch these guys.
I agree.
We're in for some good times, some good fights. It's not going to be just one-sided guys going 7-0 or destroying people. It's going to be good battles back and forth.
Now, you know, you mentioned being able to sit back and, you know, enjoy the fights at every aspect of the sport, singleized or mixed martial arts. Do you get a chance to maybe on Friday night catch the Muay Thai fights from Bangkok or Saturday a local MMA event, or do you not have much free time?
Well, I work on the weekends. That way, like, I only work a couple of days on the weekends. That way I can train full-time during the weekday. Anytime I get a chance to go to the law, I love it. It's great. It's totally, especially when I'm at a battlefield event, it's like I get to sit back and just enjoy it. I don't have to be in the back room going through all the anticipation and all that. You know how it is. So to be able to relax and watch it, it's great. It's amazing. And especially, like, and the Muay Thai fights, too. One of our teammates, JD, is doing really, really good. Just won his last fight on the Jerry Gianco card. And he's supposed to be fighting for a belt coming up soon. So I'll definitely be at that. And like I said, I just got back from Cranbrook, a fucking 10-hour drive all the way there to watch my boy choke the guy in 46 seconds, 26 seconds this time.
It's worth it.
Oh, it's so fun. The greatest part that I like about it is after it's getting done, both guys shake hands. There's no grief or no nothing. Everybody's happy. Both people put in a good camp. They show up. They fight. They shake hands. Everybody's happy. It's a good time.
No, Jamie, you have a birthday here next month. Will you celebrate that then or wait till after the fight?
I don't know. What's a birthday?
Huh?
A birthday? What do you mean going out? No. There's no birthdays, man. There's no days off. Maybe when I get my belt, that's when I'll celebrate my birthday.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. No way. Because, man, before the fight, that's when I sit there, I go, did I do everything I was supposed to do? Did everything go right how I was supposed to? Did I put all the work in? And I don't want to be, oh, I shouldn't have went out for my birthday. I don't want that thought in my head. So, and then, so what? It's just a birthday anyway.
What is right? Fight day like for you? What's your routine on fight day?
On fight day? Well, wake up. I like to go for a nice little late jog, really, really late jog. Maybe a little shadow boxing. I usually run by my house. There's a park there. I go there, and I don't know who I talk to, but I talk to somebody and just say, hey, fucking make sure I have a good fight. I don't know if it's God or what it is, but I talk to somebody. And then I meet up with my team, and then they go to the venue, do the fighter meeting, and have a team meal, and then get in the zone and get it done.
That's pretty cool. You know,
yeah, it's great. It's such a great experience. I love it.
Now,
I wouldn't be doing anything. It's not like I'm getting money out of it. So I totally do it for the experience.
Do you, if you could pick any city in the world to have a fight in, what city would you want to fight in?
I don't know. It's pretty tough. I'm planning on going to Thailand here soon, like after the summer. But I don't know, maybe somewhere in Europe would kind of be cool. Like, to see the culture, what's cool about. There's some good kickboxing in Holland. I wouldn't mind checking that out.
Oh yeah, well you know you got some.
Oh, yeah.
You got some great events over in Europe, especially in Eastern Europe, with the kickboxing with Super Combat, and then obviously KSW in Poland for MMA and kickboxing. So yeah, you easily got some cool places you could go fight and visit. It would be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's also why this sport is great, too, because, like, eventually I'm going to be able to travel to all these places. I'll take a fight wherever in every different country to a point where I travel the whole world, and if I'm going there, they're taking care of it. So, you know, being able to travel the whole world and get paid for it, like, what else? How else could it be better?
Do you listen to this show regularly? Because that's almost word for word what Lepaki tries to tell every amateur or beginning pro.
No, to be honest with you, I just know MMA Madhouse from Carl. He was at the Cranbrook show, the Battle of the Borders, and then I figured this out from Chappie. Ryan Chappie got me the interview, and yeah, I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't even know how to put it on my Facebook to tell people to listen.
Well, I got your back on that one. It's so
and,
funny
and no,
though.
No disrespect.
No. It's just funny that you would say almost word for word what Lepaki tries to convince so many fighters that come on this show to use MMA for, and that's to travel and get paid to do what you love to do.
Exactly. Why not? He's a smart man. That's the fact, right? There's so many networking too. You're meeting so many people and going around the world, seeing different cultures. You're getting paid for it. Like, it can't get any better.
I can't imagine there's a better feeling than getting paid to go like across the planet to some other guy's hometown, beat him up, get paid, and then get to come back home.
Exactly, a paid vacation with a freaking sporting event to play in. Come on, it's awesome. Doesn't get any better.
Well, you know,
I got a question. So now, would you rather just like knock a dude out cold, like Michael Bisping by Dan Henderson, or would you rather make him tap to strikes?
I'd sooner knock him out, for sure. Definitely like a knocker. Like I said, I like striking, and don't get it twisted. I like to choke people out too. You can see that.
No.
Right, there's nothing better than putting your hands.
No, Jamie.
Oh, tap from striking.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what? I definitely want to have one of those around my record for sure. That's you know, it's not a good deal. It's not a good deal to tap by striking. That's for sure.
we love to break people's balls when they tap to strikes. I mean, we're not gonna lie.
Yeah.
We get kind of vicious on some folks, especially guys who talk a real big game. And then when you start pounding on them, they're tapping. Stop me, you know. Yeah, dude.
It couldn't be better, especially somebody who wanted to be a loudmouth like Bisping or any of them that just wants to talk shit. And then all of a sudden he taps out from getting punched. That's fucking awesome. Okay, buddy, what are you saying now? You're saying I give up. You know? Did you guys catch the Bellator last, I think it was Thursday or Friday? Rick Hans versus, I forget the guy who's fighting. Anyway, one of my buddies, Rick. Yeah, my buddy Rick Hans, he fought this guy, and he was just landing leg kicks after leg kicks, and he was beat. And all he's obviously going to lose the fight, but all I could think in my head was, don't give up. Don't tap out from the leg kicks. Just take it. And he didn't tap out. Faraz ended up throwing in the towel, which was a good deal. But like, you can't tap out from leg kicks. That would be probably worse than tapping out from punches to the face.
That fight.
But he stayed in there. He was too long for him. Like, pardon me.
When Josh Reddinghouse fought Marlon Moraes at World Series of Fighting, man, that was a leg kick display.
Leg kicks, I love them. I got great leg kicks, too. Definitely love them. Especially after you get three or four, it slows that guy down a lot. It's great for against a wrestler. He's not going to be shooting so quick anymore, that's for sure.
One more fan
question. Never mind me. Yeah, go ahead.
What do you like to eat after fight weekend? What's your favorite thing, the first thing you want to go to after the fights are over?
26-ounce porterhouse, baby. Medium rare.
Yes!
And, like, yes. Maybe a couple, like, beans on the side just to look at.
Dude, you're like a beast, bro. I mean... You're like the Canadian Brock Lesnar. Let's be honest. You're huge and muscular, dude. Like, I love it.
I'm faster than that fucking fat guy. That guy's too slow. That guy's too. He can't put me on that side. I'm way too much explosive than that guy. Not that I'm calling him out. He'll kick my ass.
I love it, I just the 26-ounce porterhouse. That's just great. I love it.
That's what I did for the last one. We went up to Whistler. We went to Hyde Steakhouse.
Is there a cold, frosty beverage next to that 26-ounce porterhouse?
I have a little bit of red wine. We try to keep it classy. That's for after. The cold beverage is for after. Red wine goes good with red meat, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the only hoity-toity part of me, anyway.
Well, brother,
but never mind me. I have to train my ass off to be able to live this life. You guys get to sit back and just interview and watch. And I'm starting to think maybe I should switch careers and just be a host. Seems a lot more fun. You guys just sit there and watch us go to war. Get to talk with us. Great times, eh?
Dude, we got
Oh, yeah, dude. It's...
Go ahead, Lepaki.
Tell him, Skip. No, tell him, Skip.
Straight up, we have got the greatest job in the world. I mean, like, not only do we get to watch not only our friends fight, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, most weekends, we're just getting ready for round two because the Asian market kicks off. Then you got every Friday and Saturday, you have 4 hours each night of live Thai fights on Thai television out of Bangkok. Dude, I mean, like,
yeah, yeah.
We watch...
That's
we
crazy.
Watch.
So when one country's sleeping, the other country's up, and you get the
yep.
You just nonstop doing it.
Yeah,
so you're working as hard
Friday,
as me, but you're in a different way.
Dude, we were just talking about this right before you came on. So usually MMA for me and Lepaki starts Thursday night because a lot of countries have events Thursday, especially kickboxing in France and stuff. But like this weekend,
mm-hmm.
You got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday Super Gringo fights, Monday Desert Force 12. I mean, all the way to Monday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So for what, 4 days, 5 days straight almost, there's MMA or kickboxing on live.
That's amazing. You guys are so lucky.
So
yeah,
when you're done,
like, we get to talk.
I don't know how happy
you,
I don't know how happy your wives are or girlfriends are, but you guys are lucky. Or if you guys even have any.
No, dude, who has time? I mean, I work a regular day job, 40, 50 hours a week. And then at night, I'm sitting here talking to kick-ass people like you and watching great fights all the time.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I'm lucky.
Dude, and trust me, when you're done, you know, with your career, definitely you should look into getting onto the media side. You know, you're obviously...
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
For sure. Well, I want to be a part with it for good, like... When it's over, you know, you're always going to have that itch. At least you can still be involved in it, right?
And that's the greatest thing is going to local events and seeing this fresh, up-and-coming talent that people have never heard of. You see this kid, you're like,
yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, you get to see him before he even blossoms. And then you see him 5 or 10 years later, and you're like, hey, I seen that guy when he was a nobody.
So in your gym, in the amateur, maybe just beginning pros, give me one name of somebody in the next few years who's going to be making waves.
Out of my gym?
Yeah.
Like I said, JD, he's just doing light time right now. He's just looking for his first MMA fight, but this guy's unreal. He's a 145er, super ripped, super fast, explosive, very aggressive. He spars with me and he's 145, and he brings it to me. He comes hard.
That's
great guy in and out of the cage, too. And works hard, even harder than me. He's the first one in the gym, last one out. Like, it's amazing. He listens really well. Like, it's an honor to be working with him.
Well, before we run out of time with you tonight, man, take a couple of minutes, man. Anybody you want to thank, any sponsors, any information you want to get out about the gym, or anything you want to say, whatever it is, go for it. It's your time.
Well, yeah. One of the main reasons why I'm doing this thing, like I said, like growing up, I had some hiccups, and it's not like I had a big brother or anybody to put me on the right side, although I wish I did. I have a program. It's called HITM. It's History in the Making is what it stands for. And it's a group. We're starting off small right now. I got a few kids from some group homes. They come in. We just do a little pad work, work on some things, talk about life stuff. But the point of it is I want to have this program to be able to get kids off the street, out of getting in trouble, or get them in the gym. And concentrating on good things in life. That's the main focus of it. So if people ever want to check it out, it's HITM.ca. And, just pay attention to the website. Different things are being posted up. And if you can contribute in any way, that'd be great.
You got any sponsors you want to shout out?
Yeah. Anthony from Knuckle. He keeps me looking really, really good. Brooklyn Nightclub, they take care of me with some finances. Great place to go and have a drink. Nico DeFerro's my strength and conditioning coach. He's amazing. He's got my cardio through the roof. Love that guy. In and out of the gym, he's such a good supporter. My coach Sal puts everything together and basic for me. Like, I couldn't have a better coach. Love that guy. Then all my training partners as well, Jordan Tracy, Paul Chance. The list goes on.
Well, I tell you what, I hope we can get you to come back on the show down the road. Definitely a fun interview. great guy. I can't wait to see you go up there and perform in a, you know, what, about, what do you got, about 8 weeks? 9 weeks?
Yeah, I don't know, more than that, like 10 weeks, July 12th.
10 weeks.
So I think
okay.
I got 10 weeks, got lots of time.
Well,
it's the first time
maybe,
I'm going to have 12 weeks before a camp. Last time has been, I've had 4 fights in the last 5 months, so kind of happy to have a little bit of time off. So is my girlfriend. That's another thing. I want to give a shout out to my girlfriend, Samantha. She puts up with a lot of my shit, helps me out a lot. I couldn't be training at this level if it wasn't for her doing all the little things she does. Love you, honey.
Hey, that's really cool, man. Big shout out to that young lady for being so supportive of the sport. And maybe right around fight time, maybe fight week or something, we can get you to come back on around then.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be a pleasure, man.
Well, brother, I can't thank you enough for doing this. I know we played back and forth a little bit, and we'll, next time we'll have a little bit more prepared and get you all the links a little sooner than the midday. But that
yeah,
was
no,
me dropping
my,
the ball.
My bad. I suck at all this, like Facebook, internet stuff. I'm still learning it. Like, I'm kind of retarded with it. Thank God I got people to help me. But, yeah, it's not you. It's me.
Well, hey.
But like I said, I'm getting better. Thanks for posting that on my thing, too, because I put it down totally wrong. You came up and fixed it, so it looks good.
Hey, dude, that's quite all right, bro. That's what we do, man. And I want you to go enjoy the night. Me and Lepaki both, we thank you very much for coming on, man. And
I
want to, we'll
I
definitely
thank
you
both
of
you guys, too, man. I want to thank you guys, too. Without you guys, like, people wouldn't even know what's going on. You know, not many people, with you putting it out in the world, people get an idea of what's going on, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have much love and respect for both Ryan and Mark Doby both. I saw them bantering on the Facebook. So, you know, you got a good group of friends, and they turned us on to you.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, we're very excited that we get to work with a lot of you guys up there and help expose you guys to, you know, the fans around the world.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much, man. And like
well,
I said, whenever you guys want me, it's just holler.
Dude, we will definitely get back with you probably fight week or the week before and get you back on.
Okay, done.
Cool, brother. Well, go. Enjoy your night. We're going to wrap this show up, pay some bills, and go home.
Okay. You guys have a good night, and thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, anytime, man. Later, brother.
All right. Later, bro.
Guys, I lost Lepaki. Thank you to all my kick-ass sponsors. Eagle!
Confidence. Heart. And desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world. Jax Media. Helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media. Design with an edge. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.